whole thought of this series comes from this little scene with David. You know, King David was, it was a really bad month, probably, I don't know, 2 months for David. And, you know, his son Absalom rebelled and, you know, started to, you know, he formed an army to take over the city of Jerusalem and to take over the kingdom. And he chased David out into the wilderness. And, you know, all of the king, the nobles, the elders of Judah, the tribe of Judah, were in that rebellion. And they, most of them were following David, or following Absalom to rebel against David. And then, you know, there's a war between David's armies and the armies of Absalom, and the armies of David win. And here you have this situation where a whole lot of the tribe of Judah, they followed the wrong guy. They followed Absalom, and they didn't follow David. And then their army lost. And they're kind of like, well, what do I do? They didn't want to go to, you know, call David back. And they might not have known. I wonder if David is going to kill us. Because what do you do with a rebel, you know? And what do you do with that, you know, do you clean house? Do you fire everyone? And it turns out David, whether for good or ill, decided no one is going to be judged. No one. And, you know, that's an interesting picture of the Lord. You know, you might have followed Absalom for a while, been on an army against the Lord, and been in this kind of place where it's like, well, I don't know what to do. Who's going to make this first move? And then this is what David says. So when he says this to the people, I just wonder what they think. They think, this is 2 Samuel 19. We read this the last couple of weeks, but I'd like to say it again. And King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Say to the elders of Judah, listen to this. Why should you be the last to bring the king back to his house when the word of all Israel has come to the king? You are my brothers. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king? I wonder when they heard this, they were wondering, what went through their minds. They were just in the wrong army. Maybe some of them were soldiers in the wrong army. And then they hear this. Hey, wake up. Why should you be the last? It might have actually been a comfort to them. It's like David saying, like, hey, I want you to want me. And, you know, David, in the Old Testament, I would say he is a big type of Christ. And I like this kind of scene, you know, maybe in our lives we were like this. Hey, I forsook, I was on the wrong side. And then the Lord just comes, hey, I'm here. Why would you take so long to bring me back? Why don't you come back here and fight for me right now? And so that's what this series of messages, it's like that. How to bring the Lord, keep the Lord in his rightful place in our life. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the words that come out of your mouth. Last week, we talked about the feelings that lead you. And if you remember from that time, you just remember the word splank non. And if you don't know what that means, see me afterwards. I'll see. Or see one of the doctors. There's some kind of splank non nervous system, splank no nervous system or whatever. Yeah, Steve knew it, and then my wife and Rachel and Prakash were Googling it anyway last time. So, and then today I want to talk about prayer. You know, there's such a way to bring the Lord, bring David back. Just having a vibrant prayer life. You know, let me tell you. Let me make a little dipstick. I give you a little dipstick into your prayer life, and you don't have to answer this, but this is a dipstick. If the Lord answers your prayers, if you consider that, like, you know, some big event, then maybe it's like, if you consider when the Lord answered your prayer, some big unusual event, and you can point to like 3 months ago where the Lord answered your prayer, maybe you should think about having a vibrant prayer life. It'll be very good. Oh yeah, Lord answered my prayer. Oh, of course he did. Of course he did. You know, I am so close to the Lord. It'd be very good to say, I'm so close to the Lord. Yeah, last week, there were 3 or 4 answers to prayer. You know, it wasn't like, hey, remember back in 92, I prayed and the Lord answered it. Yeah, that's right. That happened in 92. It did. And I am here living proof to tell you about it. No, how about this? Hey, on Friday, the Lord answered my prayer. And there's a big difference. Like, we all know God answers prayers. But how about this? On Friday, this past Friday, the Lord answered my prayer. And what does that mean? There's this like whole secret thing going on between you and the Lord. And what's it look like? Yeah. He answered my prayer. You could say to the Lord, you know, yeah, Lord, I told you so. Because you're just in a conversation with him. And we like to, you know, Jesus encourages this. Listen to this. This should be in red letters, Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. You know, the Lord just encourages, hey, you should be an asker. He likes that. He likes askers. He likes people that ask him things. And he likes people that seek something. And he likes people that knock. You think like it's like increasing levels of intensity. I ask. It's like one level. I'm asking. But then if I'm looking, I'm seeking, there's a little bit more. And then if I go up to a door and knock, it's a little bit more. And he wants all three. Ask, seek, knock. There's something in your life. You know, what prayer means is this. I can't. Hallelujah. But God can. I can't. God can. So that means I ask. I ask. And to be an asker for all kinds of things is a wonderful way to have the Lord very close. It can happen in big things. You know, when I was in Africa, I met this guy. He worshipped. I told the story before, but he worshipped idols. His family worshipped idols. You know, they were in the village. He worshipped idols, and then he got very sick in junior high, and then his family went to a witch doctor, and the witch doctor said, your son is going to die, the junior higher. Then they went to a church, and then the church said, we will pray for you. And then they prayed, and he got better. So you know what? No more witch doctor. Now we believe in Jesus. It's pretty good, right? It's a big thing. That's a marvelous thing. And I think that's great. Every witch doctor, there's one person, Betty, you know her. That one person, her mom spent 7 days praying in a Buddhist temple for her daughter who will come here to not become a Christian. And she isn't a Christian yet, but I just like, Lord, you cannot let that happen. No way. You have to show that you have to, like, 7 days praying in a Buddhist temple. Lord, you cannot let that go. No, let's pray for her right now. You know, and there are those kinds of things. And they're big things. They're big ask, big askers, big askings. Like, Lord, heal my junior high age son so he doesn't die. Those are big things. But it's also just very little things. Like, I appreciate Peter's testimony. I lost my keys in the snow. then what do? You just pray for your keys to be found so you don't have to, you didn't have to shovel the whole lawn, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's right. You just pray for your keys to be found. And it's like, oh, yeah. And you know what? It's just like a little treasure you have in your heart. Yeah, God answers these kinds of prayers. Ask, seek, knock. And then the Lord gives us this little thing, you know, like for everyone, you just have to realize one thing about God. Realize one thing. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone, the one who finds seeks, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Think about that. Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent. I always think, whenever I read this verse, I think of those mafia movies, you know, these guys, like, you know, these mafia bosses, and they're like cutting people's thumbs off and, you know, threatening and, you know, this racket of whatever, you know, involving hurting a lot of people. But look at how they treat their son. It's like, if you touch my son, you know, and then they'll give everything to their son, you know. This is an evil guy, but his son is just, yeah, I'll just do everything for my son. This is my son. That's kind of like, I don't know if Jesus had a mafia movie in his mind when he was thinking about this, but it fits pretty well. Yeah, that, you know, think about all of the evil people, and they still like their children. And if you don't like your children, you're worse than evil. But anyway, sorry, because I know some people like that. It's like, you're worse than evil. But yeah, you have a lot of evil people, but they still love their children. And it's like, think about God. You know, sometimes we think of God as like this. Oh, you just want to make my life hard. Or you think about God, you just want to mess me up. Or you think about God, it's like, why me? And you think about God, it's like so much blaming. But no, we don't have a father like that. We have a father like this. Like, think of that mafia boss. He still cares for his son so much, and he's an evil guy. And if you ask your father for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a stone that looks like a loaf of bread, but you can't cut it. And if you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. No. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I just know that this is like, one time my heart was a little bit hard towards the Lord. I don't know. I needed to. So I wanted to, sometimes I just go and like take a hike in Cuyahoga Valley National Park. You know, just to clear my mind. This is about, maybe it was about 6 months ago this happened. And I took this hike, and then I was, you know, away for a couple hours maybe. I left my lights on in my car. And then I left my lights on, and I came back, and the the battery was dead. And I went to, like, clear my mind, so I'm not around people, you know. And so I was thinking, like, what can I do? And I was like, Lord, can you just help me? And it was weird. This pickup truck came up, and this guy got out to use the bathroom in the parking lot, because there's a bathroom there in the parking lot. And then I just went up and asked him, it's like, do you have any jumper cables? Just, you know, and he did. He had jumper cables in his truck. And then he jumped my car. And then I just started talking to him. I said, you know, you're an answer to prayer. I told him you're an answer to prayer. And then here it was. He lived like about 2 miles from that place. And he stopped to use the bathroom. And I was like, why did you stop? Like, why did you stop to use a public bathroom in the middle of this parking lot? And he didn't really have a good answer about why he stopped. And I just felt like, You know, I don't know. I felt like my heart was a little hard at that time, and then that's because I just cleared my mind. And then I just turned around and was like, God, you're really good. I could have had the story of like, you know, anyway, whatever. But just a little prayer in your life. Sometimes you're just like, I don't know, upset about God or feel far from God or like, what's going on? And then you just have this little prayer and you realize, you know what? We have a good heavenly Father. And he really, really enjoys giving good things to us. He really enjoys that. Jesus gives him a good advice. Most of his advice is really, all of his advice is really good. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's like a whole secret life. When they see you, they should see like the little tip of an iceberg. I love Jesus. Just a very tip. I love Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. You love Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. I go to church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I read the Bible. But then underneath that whole little thing, underneath that little thing, it's just an enormous life. It's like the roots that have gone down. And no one can really do this for you. No one can really do this for you. And you can't really act it. You can't really, pretend. Because things will come in your life. And then what your response will be is not determined by the tip of the iceberg, the thing that's showing. What your response will be is determined by everything underneath. And it's just this life where go into your room privately, in secret. And you know, the Father who sees in secret will repay. It's a really beautiful picture. It's good. Think about my finances. Lord, I just pray. Lord, you know. You know what I need. And even you could have a paycheck every week. But like you just pray, Lord, you know what I need. You know how to work this out. Pray about personal issues. Lord, you know I feel this way. And I would like to rip that person's throat out, you know. And you just pray in your private. You know, Lord, I'm tempted by this. Lord, you know I am weak. You know, Lord, I can't love you that much. And all the little things, Lord, you know, it would just be so good if this would happen. And, you know, a lot of times I see people, you know, I meet with a lot of people, and I wish I could just get inside of people and change their hearts, you know, just reorient things and, you know, make thoughts different and make emotions different and erase little parts of their background and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. Wouldn't that be great? Of course, then everything would be blamed on me. And I was like, why did you make your heart like that? My heart like that? But I wish I could do that. But, you know, I can't. And I realize more I'm with people, the more I realize I cannot change them. But, oh, what a time to be in secret. Oh, Father, this person. Oh, Father, still not believe. Oh, Father, there's still something. Just in a private room, shut the door. Go there. And your Father who sees in secret. So it's not a public prayer. Oh, there should be some public prayers. Sometimes it's a glory to say, you know, hey, I prayed and I got an answer. And other times, hey, I prayed. And then it's like, just keep it to yourself. And you realize, yeah, my Father answered. I have that in my, my Father answered. I know, my Father answered. My Father answered. I like this one thing from Lord's Prayer. I mean, there's a lot of great things in Lord's Prayer. I recommend it. Recommended reading. But I like this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what I like about it is, like, it's sometimes very easy to pray general things that can never, you can never tell whether that thing is answered or not. For instance, like this, Lord, send your blessings to me. Like, I don't really know. Like, you know, like, was that a blessing? Does that mean it rained when my flowers needed water? Or I just don't know how that would be answered. Send your blessings to me, or Lord, bless this person. And, you know, it takes more boldness to pray very, very, very specific things. And this is a very specific thing. I mean, now we live in America. We think, you know, food comes from Dave's or something like that. I don't know. But maybe at another time it was a little different. Or if we were in another setting, maybe we would be living every day. You know, and some of us do face that every day. Lord, give me bread today. You know, but it's very specific. And I just like that principle of praying, Lord, how about this? And, you know, one time I just prayed like, Lord, can you make this thing happen quickly? And you know what? He did. And it was really good. It was really good. Lord, I don't want to waste a lot of time with this. Can you just make it happen quickly? Bryce, we're praying for your house. Make it happen quickly. And then did something happen Friday? Praise the Lord. That was good. Yeah. It's very good. So it's very good to have prayers like this that you can say whether God will had or did, you know, answered it or did not. Very specific. You know, and then you're kind of like putting the Lord on the spot. Lord, I pray that this brother would grow in Christ. That's a very good prayer. How about this? I pray that this person would be baptized. And then we actually see that person, like, go into the water. And you realize, check. Got it. What's that? Quickly. That's right. Quickly. Quickly. Wisdom. If you lack wisdom, which everyone does, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it would be given to him. It's really not bad. Like, you know, we face complicated situations. There are office politics. There are all kinds of stuff. You know, just to ask God, give me wisdom. How do I talk to this person? God, give me wisdom. Right now. Tell me. How do I talk? It's very good. It's just a good, like, yeah, how do I handle this? Oh, we need wisdom in 10,000 situations. Brother Lawrence, I would recommend that book, Practice of the Presence of God. If you have like 30 minutes, you can read the whole thing. And, you know, he was a cook in a monastery. And, you know, this is about 1600s. And he would have to buy food for the monastery. And he would pray every time he bought food. I was thinking like, well, you're a cook. You're probably doing this 10 years. And, you know, he had to do the transaction, whatever. But just to pray, Lord, can you be with me in that? It's really good just to have the Lord in those little things. When I was in the lab, you know, lab was just like, oh, yeah. An experiment can take 3 years or 3 weeks. It doesn't really, like, there's no rhyme or reason. Probably closer to 3 years than 3 weeks. I just pray, Lord, inspire me. Give me inspiration. And I can never say that, like, the Lord, you know, gave me a Nobel Prize. I can never say that because he didn't. And I never prayed for it, though. And I just felt like the Lord's presence was there. And I just, you know, there's no difference between work and church. It's just like, Lord is there. It's really good. Whatever you ask. Listen to this little phrase. In my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything, here it is again. In my name, I will do it. You know, sometimes you can pray And it's just not in the Lord's name. For instance, like this. If I would say, this is my prayer. Jesus, save Satan. Save Satan. He's been beat up all this time. Have mercy on him. Save him. And I just keep praying that. Save Satan. Save Satan. And you know what? God will not answer my prayer. No. Why? We know already. Satan has one place prepared for him. It is the lake of fire. He is eternally damned. That's it. And so I could even pray like, Lord, save Satan. And then I put a tagline on, in the name of Jesus. But that doesn't really make me pray in the name. It's a tagline. It's like, although one time I was praying up here and then I didn't say in the name of Jesus. And some visitor came and she thought we were some kind of cult because I didn't say in the name of Jesus after the prayer. Anyway, but that's just a little story. So I mean, it's not bad to say at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus. It's not bad. But it's not just a tagline. It is like, it's really in the name. In the name means in the person of Jesus. So I think the best example is like this. What if the ambassador to the United States, of the United States, to, say, France, went to Hollande, what's the president of France? Hollande, H-O-L-L-A-N-D, what, Hollande. And then he just said, you know what, Obama thinks you're just ugly. like Hollande would say, like, you're crazy. And then he would call up Obama and say, hey, can you get us a new ambassador, the one that doesn't insult me? You know, an ambassador can't just say anything to France because he's an ambassador. What an ambassador has to do is he actually has to know what Obama wants, what the Congress wants, what the position of the United States is. And then he starts talking to the ambassador of France, and then his name, his words mean something. So he would say like, you know, he could say like, well, I think you're ugly, but according to the United States, we have good relations with you. In the name of the United States, we have good relations with you. And because that's the, you know, we're not at war with France, however you may feel about that country. You know, it has to be according to what that person wants, the country wants. What is in the name? In the name means that. It's like, you know, sometimes you pray, you may pray, and you just find out this, like, oh, it was not the will of the Lord. I knew one person, prayed for probably like close to 1 year for another person to become saved and love the Lord and, you know, etc. And that person up to this date right now is even worse, even further. Now, I don't know. You can always say, well, maybe it is later. And I have seen that. Like sometimes I have that experience of, you know, being with somebody and then 5 years later something happens and it's like, wow, that seed was real, you know, and then that is all true. And it's very well possible also that it's just not the Lord's will. It's possible. And prayer is something that it's not just like something where we ask and we get, but it's also something where we actually come into knowing what is in the name. It changes you. At one point, you could be praying, I want a Mercedes, I want to make it fast. And you realize, oh, no, it's not the name. And then you might change. Okay, how about, Lord, build your church? Oh, yeah, that's the name. And it could be according to a lot of different things. And it's like you pray and you have this prayer life, and then not only, you know, do you see answers, but you also start to change inside so that, you know, the last verse here. I like this. If you abide in me, 15:7, John. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Look at this phrase. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's almost like your wishes change. Your wishes are different now. I used to wish that Satan would be saved. But I don't wish that now. No. I'm just not praying about it. No, my wish is different. And then some people think, well, whatever I want, God wants opposite. Did you ever get into that? Like, it's a weird religious kind of thing, whatever. Like, you know, like, oh yeah, if I want it, God must not want it. Right, because God doesn't give us things that, you know, anyway. But that doesn't go along with the rest of the message. But anyway, some people think about that. But here it's like, you know, what do you want? You could ask, like, what should I pray for? A good place to start is, hey, what do you want? What do you wish for? What do you wish for? And as you grow, as the words of the Lord abide in you, as you allow the Lord to abide in you, the things you want just change. They grow. They increase. They are more pronounced. And it's like, yeah, the Lord's happy with that. I am happy with that. Yeah, the Lord wants that. I want that. And so the Lord can say, hey, you know what? You should just ask whatever you wish. However, it's whatever you wish for a person who has the Lord's words abiding in them. And they are abiding in the Lord. And it's a really intimate thing. So anyway, I hope this week we could just have a lot of little prayers answered. Silly prayers. Lord, where are... Lord, give me the right donut. I don't know. Maybe then the Lord will give you no donut. I don't know. Give me the right donut. And you go to the donut store and they're out or something like that. It's like, thank you for your will, Lord. Amen. And hopefully we can have a lot of little prayers answered. And you know, we have this kind of secret life that's just developed underneath. And this is what keeps the Lord really close to us. So I'll just end there. And let's have a little prayer and we'll end the meeting.